Welcome to the Poem of the Week. Each week, our poems are intended to help you practice the best, most current medicine by alerting you to studies that could change your practice. As usual, our host this week is National Public Radio's Dr. Michael Wilkes and Essential Evidence Senior Editor Dr. Mark A. Bell. Gentlemen.
Thanks, Maggie. Hello, Mark.
Hey, Mike. I hope you're feeling better. I heard you had some crud last week. I hope you took your amoxiclav, your amoxicillin clavulanate.
I did not.
Double dose of that?
No, I took some chicken soup, and actually, I don't eat meat, so I had some broth.
That's your problem.
You're
weak. Right? You're constitutionally weak from lack of animal flesh.
Exactly. But I did not take any antibiotics. You're alluding to the poem that you've chosen. I think it comes from a journal called the Canadian Medical Association Journal. Never quite sure why they didn't call it the Journal of the Canadian Medical Association. But nonetheless, it was published in 2015. It starts on page 21 of their electronic version. The poem actually looks at amoxicillin, an old friend of ours. As we know, amox is a commonly used antibiotic both in ambulatory and hospitalized patients. It's often, not always, but often combined with clavulanic acid, intended to increase its spectrum. There are many articles on the benefits of amoxicillin, but Mark found an article from CMAJ that looks at harms. And not surprisingly, if you look at harms, the literature that's posted with the drug lists every single organ system and zillions and billions of side effects. But those in the renal system, the skin system in terms of allergies and things, and the hepatic system seem to be the ones that predominate. But still, you look at these huge lists and we don't know anything about their frequency of those harms. The secret to understanding harms and to being able to quantitate them is really not very different from understanding benefits. And Mark has taught us over the years as we've looked at poems, and Mark's taught epidemiology to medical students and public health students. You know, we all love this concept of number needed to treat. It's how many people do you need to treat to get one benefit. And so this particular paper does a nice job of looking at the number needed to harm. How many people do you need to treat in order to get one harm? And so the poem that Mark's going to talk us through asks the question, how frequently do harms of amoxicillin with or without clavulanic acid actually occur? Mark, what did the authors from Canada find?
Gotta love the Canadians. Those are my people. This is good stuff because it's important that we shine a light on the harm side of the equation. If you read most randomized controlled trials, you know, you read the intro and the methods and the results. And at the very end of the results, there's one short paragraph that, you know, talks about the adverse effects after like three pages talking about the benefits. And there might be one table. And often, the way clinical trials have been done and set up, often there are problems with how it gets classified, how the, how the harms are classified. So somebody who feels down or feels sad gets classified with somebody who's suicidal. And so, you know, how we measure harms is really an issue. And they are looking at that and trying to do a better job of that. This meta-analysis was one of the first to really specifically look at harms, and they picked a common thing, amoxicillin, either alone or in combination with clavulanic acid. I'll just call it amoxiclav. Augmentin is the trade name we commonly think of. And they looked for randomized controlled trials for any indication of amoxicillin or amoxiclav compared to placebo. And they did the usual good meta-analysis stuff. Overall, the risk of bias was felt to be low, and they found 45 studies of adults and children, but interestingly, only 25 of 45 provided data, enough data that you could actually use it to study harm. So 20 of the studies kind of ignored the whole harm side of the equation. Not surprisingly, most of the studies were looking at treating respiratory infections, ear, nose, and throat kind of infection, strep throat, things like that. Studies reported anywhere from 0 to 10 harms. Mostly they were focused on GI and skin adverse effects because you ask about what you know, and if you don't know about it, you don't ask about it. They didn't see any overall increase in diarrhea. And if it was a drug company writing this article, they would have stopped there. But when you broke out the amoxiclav, the Augmentin studies, they actually found more than a threefold risk increase in the risk of diarrhea. So 17.5% with amoxiclav, less than 6% with placebo. So a number needed to harm of about 8. There were only 3 studies that reported candidiasis, but they showed a pretty significant increase in risk, 4.4% versus 0%. The odds ratio is 8 for that. Number needed to harm about 23. No difference, and this kind of surprised me, no difference in nausea or vomiting between the amoxicillin or amoxiclav and placebo. So bottom line is that, as we suspected, as I think we knew, but I think we can be really confident with this number, for every 8 people that we give amoxiclav, we're going to cause clinically apparent diarrhea in one of them. And if you think about it, that's actually kind of close to the number needed to treat to benefit for ear infections and other conditions that we often use these drugs for. So you cure one, you make one a little sicker. And the other thing that informed me was that nausea, vomiting, rash also were not significantly increased, but candidiasis is with the amoxiclav.
Interesting. So perhaps the real benefit of this is it gives us a little bit more ammunition when we're talking to parents about antibiotics. They're asking for antibiotics, and we're trying to convince them that it really isn't the benefit that they think it's going to be. This allows us to say with some confidence that, as you point out, we're going to cure one, but we're going to make another one sicker.
Yep, that sounds like a good interpretation.
Mark, thanks so much. We'll talk to you again next week.
I appreciate it, Mike. Thanks.
That's this week's poem. Thanks for listening. If you'd like to look at this and other recent poems, please go to www.infopoems.com. Please join us again next week for another medical poem.